Hey everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of Indie Film Cafe. This is season 3, and this is our first episode back here in Virginia on the East Coast. While Jonathan has moved out to the West Coast, he's going to be handling episodes the early part of the month over there, and I'm going to be handling episodes on the latter part over here. And today I have with me...
Lenore.
Hi, Lenore. And then we also have...
Joe, how you doing?
How's it going, Joe?
All right.
Joe, you have joined us before, but with What the Fuck Fridays and Film Freaks and...
Yeah, I think I've done an Indie Film Cafe, one or two of those.
Yeah.
I did a Van Damme one.
That's right, you did a damn Van Damme movie.
And maybe, Game Box.
That's right, and Game Box.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the movie we're about to see is not nearly as good as that. We are popping into the Wayback Machine... all the way back to 1958, and we are going to be doing the illustrious Robot versus the Aztec Mummy, a Mexican movie that's part horror, part sci-fi, and part wrestling movie, because you gotta have wrestling in there too. But because this is actually a kind of a short film, we are actually going to do a short right before it. From 1951, we are going to watch Soapy the Germ Fighter.
Soapy what? The Germ Fighter.
This sounds like the kind of thing they'd show you in the 50s.
It is. It's from 1951. Oh. This is exactly one of those kind of things.
Do we already start out at a 10 with that?
Not quite. Not quite. We're not going to review that. That's just kind of like fun filler, but it's okay. So
cool.
Why don't we just go ahead and listen to some mood music, and we'll be right back. Okay, guys, so we are back after having watched Soapy the Germ Fighter. So, Miss Lenore, what did you think of the wise Soapy?
Creepy. So, well, first, he's hallucinating a bar of soap.
As you do.
I don't know why. But he just doesn't do anything to actually convince the boy that he needs to use soap. It's just, you must do this.
And he has a lot of emphatic hand gestures.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's because the actor can't see. So he's just moving his arms around and hoping it makes sense.
Because he is like just a big bar of soap, literally with feet and some arms. You said some, it looked like he has some bling or something on.
Right, he's got some rings on or something, but yeah, it didn't look like he had pants.
Poofy frilly sleeves.
He had poofy sleeves, but no pants. What is this? What is an adult bar of soap with no pants doing in a boy's bedroom at night?
And it's like
I thought he was wearing tights.
Yeah, he could have been wearing tights. Maybe they were flesh-colored tights. I don't know. It looked very strange.
Yeah, but with the poofy sleeves that he was wearing, I think it was supposed to be like some kind of king costume, and then they stuck a bar of soap on top.
Well, I like how he goes out of his way to demonstrate or tell Billy that... being clean is not being a sissy. That's the overall theme of the film.
Yeah, there was multiple mentions of sissy on there, which was kind of, I guess it's product of the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
They don't even really explain, I suppose somebody in the time period wouldn't know, what is a sissy?
Well, I mean, at least in terms of the 1950s, I guess a non-macho male, a non-manly male, a feminine male?
Every boy, by definition?
Yeah, sort of, when you think about it.
Well, back then, I'm sure it held serious negative connotations. Obviously, in today's PC time, plus in the time of better understanding of people, this would not fly then.
Right.
Or now, if you will. But, yeah, there was... I guess my parents grew up with stuff like this as the PSAs, if you will.
Right.
They're just strange.
Well, I almost had us do Let's Make a Sandwich, because that's so very strange and bizarre, too. But
wait, people don't know how to make sandwiches?
Exactly. I mean, it's ridiculous. But apparently people didn't know how to clean themselves either. Or this dirty, filthy little goblin wasn't washing himself, so they had to make a PSA in order to get him off his ass and not think of himself as a sissy. It's ridiculous.
That and the, was once every other day baths or the bathing times, I guess, was a little different
in recommendations. Yeah. They mentioned something about how women have different things than boys do. What's up with girls? Why do girls have special bathing times? What's going on there?
I thought they were only talking about washing their hair.
Well, maybe they were. So what's up with that?
So it can vary a lot depending on the type of hair you have, but a lot of the time it's not recommended that women wash their hair every day. It can be once a week, once every 2 weeks, or once every few days.
Every 2 weeks? Ew!
The problem is, if you wash too frequently, the oils in your hair get stripped.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves your hair brittle and dry.
But I thought they have shampoo products to make your oil get out of your hair.
Maybe not then. Back then it might, I don't know, it was a different time.
You want oils in your hair. Oh, I know. At least some of them.
I know.
And also, if you wash your hair too frequently, especially with harsher products, you get what's called product buildup, which makes your hair very stiff.
Gotcha.
So it's usually best to wash it every few days to once a week or so, to wash it thoroughly and very well, and then use conditioner afterwards.
You realize we're going to have to put you in a bar of soap and have you visit people's rooms at night so you can give a proper PSA to some of these kids.
No.
That's almost like a mascot for the season.
Right. With the coronavirus upon us, we need Soapette the Germ Fighter.
Okay. So you're probably going to be okay just following the very general stuff of don't eat food that... that sounds weird.
Sitting around the floor?
So, yes. Just wash your hands regularly. You don't have to be obsessive about it like that boy seems to have become.
Well, he was like the opposite of like Beaver from Leave It to Beaver.
Oh,
the time.
I know. Because
then there was always the joke on Leave It to Beaver about him not having to take the bath. He's like, you got to take your bath. This boy seemed to be happy taking his bath because he had the smile of all smiles.
Yeah, he seems to have developed some kind of psychosis around cleaning after that.
Well, that's because he had this weird, strange bar of soap visiting him in the middle of the night, telling him, oh, right there, Billy. Yes,
what?
Billy. That's how you do it, Billy.
Anyway,
They were talking a little bit about the stuff on the, they kept showing the cowboys on the ranches and stuff.
Right.
That was kind of interesting and showing how they cleaned up when they had to go into town. It's just, it's a product of a different time.
Right.
It's just being, and it, just the whole, with Ozzie and Harriet theme, with how you mentioned when we were watching it about the guy dressed up in a suit for dinner and how formal the setting was. But no, you have to be perfectly in your nines and clean to a T.
Apparently. Good Lord. And then I like how Soapy continuously reminds Billy that flies have germs on their feet, disease germs, he calls them, on their feet. So flies are the spawn of Satan, clearly.
In this, apparently.
So,
yeah.
How would you feel if you ran into Soapy in your room in the middle of the night?
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't just listen to him. I might just leave or tell a doctor afterwards that I've been hallucinating bars of soap.
Be like, what did somebody do to my drink?
I was going to say, Billy, have you been eating the bars of soap before you go to bed? Is that what's going on?
Well, he better hope it's not lye soap.
Oh, God.
Well, that reminds me of like in Christmas Story when she makes him wash his mouth out. And
right.
She tries it. She's just like, oh, my God, it's nauseating.
Yeah, so funny.
This different times, troubling. I wonder if this ever if other worlds saw stuff like this, that what they would think of us.
I know. It's pretty amazing, really, when you think about it. But, you know, it was just an innocent time back then, and this was just their way of making sure that these kids stayed clean, you know?
So I wonder if the purpose of this was to get shown, in school in those little the health ed classes or something. I remember seeing videos and stuff like that in different type of videos, and it obviously wasn't in that vein, but I was like, I'm sure looking at those as a product of the time.
And it's a common thing. It's like you can have adults tell kids to do stuff all day long and they're just going to ignore them. But for some reason, the folks in Hollywood know that if you have a mascot say the exact same thing, for some reason, children are going to listen. They're not going to listen to a dope, but they'll listen to a talking bar of soap.
Not necessarily.
Well, that's how they think of it.
I mean, yeah, kids will make fun of anything.
True, true. Well, kids are a lot more savvy now. I mean, that would never fly in a today's classroom anyway. People just laugh, you know. But back then, kids were a lot more innocent.
Oh, no, we're still only, what, about 15 years from Teletubbies and stuff like that. So.
Oh, that's true.
So there is still an opening for stuff like that in today's time. I'm sure that it's there. We could see this generation's version of Soapy.
There you go. Well, that's it for Soapy. Next thing we're going to do is move on to our main feature, which is the robot versus the Aztec mummy.
The robot versus the Aztec mummy. They will bring you a night of terror.
Okay, so we are back. So, Aztec mummy versus the robot. What do you guys have to say about this? You're shaking your head, Lenore.
It just wasn't good.
Really?
Okay, so it's also confusing.
Really?
So most of this movie just happens 5 years ago and they're retelling it through memory. And then the last part, it seems like it's happening in the modern day.
I think so. Maybe. Possibly.
And it's ridiculous. So this evil guy who is named The Bat.
The Bat!
Who has a henchman with half his face burned off by acid.
Bruno!
Steal a corpse and a brain and radium and buy a ton of lead.
Yep.
You really have to wonder, if they're stealing that much stuff anyway, why didn't they just steal the lead? Then there's no address on file for people to follow.
Well, it's the same reason why, you know, they determined that the mummy is scared of lights and scared of crucifixes, and yet he's hiding in a cemetery full of light and crucifixes.
Yeah, that too. So they construct this robot out of what looks like cardboard boxes, but they actually might have some metal in it because it made a metallic noise. And then they stick a poor actor inside and tell him to walk around, and he can't walk very fast.
Slow.
And neither can the person playing the mummy. It looks like their mask is blocking their vision. So it's just, they're moving really slowly, and I can't move their arms much, so they're just weakly hitting each other. And it's bad. It's really bad.
It's so terrible.
So I just realized I explained a lot of stuff without explaining anything.
Okay. You got most of it.
I think you pretty much nailed it, actually.
It just occurs to me. I don't think anybody who would be listening to this knows where the mummy comes from or anything.
It doesn't matter.
Well, it's really what? This is part three, I think, right?
Right.
So in the parts one and two, I guess, is recapped in the first 35 or 40 minutes of this?
Right, so let me give it a little bit of a background on this ridiculous mummy movie. So this was directed by Rafael Portillo. He did three Aztec mummy movies. He did The Aztec Mummy in 1957, The Curse of the Aztec Mummy in 1957, and this movie, Robot Monster, or actually it's a, what was it? It was
Robot versus... The Aztec Mummy?
Robot versus the Aztec Mummy, but the Mexican title actually translates into Aztec Mummy versus the Humanoid Robot.
There you go.
Which is, you know, equally ridiculous. All three movies were shot back to back to back because these are a bunch of cheap bastards and they didn't want to have to, you know, do three separate movies. They just used the same sets, the same people, the same everything over and over and over. And yes, this movie is pretty much a clip show. Boo, clip show!
Yeah, because it's only about 25 minutes of actual,
right?
Legitimately its own entity versus the other two, apparently.
Exactly. They just stole scenes from the other two films and stitched them together, figuring they could just, you know, pad out the rest with whatever new nonsense they came up with. And that's what they did.
So that's why it felt like three movies.
Yes. Three movies wrapped in one. It's a horror movie, it's a science fiction movie, and it's a wrestling movie because the big fight at the end.
Yeah.
So Rafael Portillo, this is really, I mean, he's directed a bunch of other films too, but this is really the thing that he's remembered for. unfortunately for him. Dr. Eduardo, or Edward, is the guy. He was played by Raymond Gay. And he was in a movie called The Witch. He was in Cry of the Bewitched and Curse of the Doll People. Also, Face of the Screaming Werewolf. A whole bunch of crappy 60s and 50s and 60s Mexican films. And he actually, Joe and I were talking about it. He actually was shot in 1960 and killed by an estranged husband of an actress that they knew. So I don't know if it was some kind of lover's thing or he was jealous or what. But that's the leading character. Then there's Floor, also the double role, Zoctil. That is our friend Rosita Arenas, that you remember and everybody else should remember from The Witch's Mirror. So there she was playing in a good film, and now she here is playing in a cheap stinker. she was also in Curse of the Crying Woman, which actually might be the best of the bunch. We'll try to get that at some point. The evil Dr. Krupp was played by Luis Aceves Castaneda. He was in all three of the Aztec Mummy movies, and he was in a bunch of films from the 1940s, 1950s, 1960s, including one of the Santo movies, Santo versus the Diabolical Brain in 1963. And let's see, his mincing, bespectacled sidekick was Picante, that is played by Crox Alvarado. He had a career that spanned the 1930s through the 1970s. He was also in all the Aztec Mummy movies, and he was in a bunch of wrestling things, Tigers of the Ring and Face of the Screaming Werewolf, and then he was in an El Santo movie.
It seems like these actors and actresses overlap, the ideas overlap. It's like there's a genre of film that this was really a serious part of in Mexico in the 60s and 50s, sure. Apparently. I don't know if it's sort of an Ed Wood of their era, their area.
In a way, maybe.
But the synopsis that's been given so far for this about covers it. I'm sort of still trying to grasp really why on a lot of this stuff. And I don't know if there really is an explanation. I don't know if there really should be an explanation. Well, it just is what it is.
I think they kind of went at it with the sort of kitchen sink idea. They just threw a bunch of crap out there. You know, like the guy had the snake pit for some reason. And
with the escape hatch.
With the escape hatch. And just, you know, all kinds of ridiculous nonsense that they just threw in there. And, you know, it kind of doesn't really matter. I guess it's sort of mindless escapism of the time. And I'm presuming that these people that went to see some of these films didn't really care. It's kind of like drive-in movies in the 60s and 70s, you know, in American audiences. They're not really looking for logic. They're looking for action and boobs and monsters and crazy
It's probably
shit.
Part of like a double feature or something, probably. Or in this case, a triple feature if they tie into the other ones. But
I did want to mention that our old buddy Popoca, the mummy, is played by an Italian actor by the name of Angel DeStefani, who was a stuntman who did a bunch of stuff, and then he was the mummy in all three of the Aztec Mummy movies, and then he was also in, if anyone has ever seen Mystery Science Theater, he was in the Mexican Santa Claus movie in 1959. He was in one of the Neutron movies. Neutron's yet another wrestler. 1960, he was in a Santos movie in 1969. He was all over the place.
You make a lot of references to wrestling, and I think that down in Mexico, there is the whole Lucha Libre wrestling.
Absolutely.
So tying that in, that makes a little bit of sense with the culture for mm-hmm. that. So that I see that now a bit.
Right. And that would be the whole draw in this particular film is having the mummy wrestling or fighting the robot, the hopelessly overbuilt refrigerator box robot.
To heighten the horror, shock your senses,
kill your brain.
It could only be shown at midnight.
Who, by the way, was played by Adolfo Rojas, and from what I've been able to dig up, this was his one and only role.
Can't say I blame him. I stuck him in a fridge box and made him walk around.
So after he filmed this, he just sort of ran for the hills or something?
I guess so. I mean, just like the mummy does at the end.
Wouldn't you?
yeah, I guess that could... well...
If only we had gotten the mummy to fight Soapy. I mean, that would have been a great fight right there.
Well, when they were wrestling or rolling, or sort of hugging, if you will. Yeah. It kind of reminded me of a video from probably about 15, 20 years ago, maybe longer. Beastie Boys, Sabotage.
Oh, God.
With that, they had the big robot at one where the Beastie Boys controlled the robot. And, I know it was against like some sort of squid type of monster, so that was a little bit different. But yeah, just the two, just sort of wrestling around, but just not even really wrestling because that requires a lot of movement. There's right. really not a lot of movement that was happening here.
Not much movement, not much speed, not much anything. Kind of like a live-action Rock'em Sock'em robot, but very, 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 very slow.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that caught me with this was there was always a sense of explanation that they spent days or weeks researching or running or trying to find this thing. And it was a lot of just sort of quick explanations and then slow walking into the same sets.
Right.
With lighting issues.
This movie was walking.
Right, walking and exposition. Yeah. Tons and tons of narrator giving us exposition because I guess it assumed you hadn't seen the first two films, so in order to make things make sense, quote unquote, he had to spout out everything that was happening.
I guess for me that might have, that because I never saw the first two, but this isn't exactly a push to make me want to go see the other two, because I guess I've got them.
We could watch all three in a row if you'd like.
No.
This one's actually a lot more fun than the other two. The other two, if you can believe it, are actually just boring, really. You know, that just isn't as much fun because there's no ridiculously, hopelessly overbuilt robot for the mummy to fight at the end.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's why I wanted to do this one. Even though it's the third of the series and it is the clip show of the group, it's just so bad, but also has that ridiculous robot. It makes it more fun.
Well, we were I was joking with you. I was like, I wanted to have a snack in the middle of the movie, and I was like, I was going to wait until the robot showed up, and it was like a good only like 20 minutes left in the movie before we first saw the robot. It was like, okay,
where's the robot?
I was like, are we watching this movie or are we watching something else?
Well, as soon as they found out that, okay, the bat has stolen a brain and a body and radium, you got to figure that's where the robot's coming from. So, and that's why I was like, so what can you do with a brain and radium and a body?
Not much.
Apparently, well, the doctor could.
Yeah, he created a robot that you acknowledged as having different size arm lengths or something?
Yeah, its arms were different lengths. And I suspect a big part of the reason that the actor couldn't move around much is because the box was, like, pretty close to his knees at the end. So that's why he couldn't walk very much in it.
No. And he had size, like, 40 shoes, like clown-sized boot shoes or something.
I felt really bad for the guy. But it was funny because, you know, in the first part of the film, it's you're dealing with the mummy. And the only way you know the mummy's there, he's like...
the scratching, the slow.
So we get 10 minutes of this stupid mummy waddling around slow as hell. And they all just stand there and yell and scream. It's like, just leave. He's slow as shit. Just leave. And, of course, they don't do that. And then you have the robot, who is even slower, if that's possible. You get to see them taking him through the graveyard. And the poor guy's, like, waddling, an inch every 10 minutes. It's just a sin. So.
Yeah. And one guy I felt sorry for was that the graveyard guy.
Oh, yeah.
A little scary.
Quirky.
First time he gets clocked on his head, gets knocked out. The second time he's sort of just like, he's like willing to help, whatever. And third time he's drinking.
Enough, apparently.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess being a security or a graveyard guy, I don't know that occupation, but I would imagine that would be pretty depressing. But by the time I saw a robot or something like that, I'd probably need to dabble a little bit in the sauce.
Would you notice he was like, what's that? And he just walks right the hell up to it. You know, I mean, if I thought it was something serious, I wouldn't go near that damn thing. And if I didn't, I'd probably stand there and laugh at it because it's ridiculous.
Then he got shot something, the robot shot something out of, like, acid or some sort of...
Or radium.
Radium or something.
Yeah, the doctor claims that the robot could assassinate or could destroy everything on Earth. So I guess that was the example of the robot destroying everything on Earth by making the guy have some smoke come out of his face and then he ran off.
And another thing you that was a little odd was the how the doctor was able to communicate with Flora in the house to get her out of hypnosis.
And this is one of those sort of clues that this movie that nobody really put much thought in it, so they had to come up with some shit. Because, okay, first of all, there's the doctor showing up in a car outside the house, and he's just saying, "Flora, listen to me. You will do exactly as I tell you. You will put on a poofy nightgown and some slippers, and you will very slowly walk down the stairs, and then walk over to the car, and then you're going to do everything I'm going to tell you, and we're going to show you at least 15 minutes of this." And For no reason. There's like no reason why this should be happening at all. And then later on, when he finally gets the chick in the car and drives off, he decides that you can detect the mummy Popoka through the mummy waves. And that's how we're going to find him. And I'm like, what? Mummy waves? What the hell are you talking about? And that's exactly what happens. She gets her mummy waves going. And they find out where Popoka's been laying his ratty head for the last 5 years. With the stuff.
The stuff.
Yeah, the bracelet and the
breastplate or whatever it was.
Which, you know, at this point, it's like, why did we even bother trying to get it? I guess he wanted money so he could make 1,000 more of those ridiculous robots.
But I thought he wanted the robot to get the breastplates.
He did. I think he wanted the robot to destroy the mummy and get the breastplate. But,
this is a very circular plan, I guess.
You noticed that, did you? So, talk to us a little bit about the science in this. There's so much science.
So, in the beginning, why did the scientist hypnotize his own wife to prove his theory? You should never perform experiments on humans you know who know that what outcome you want because they will be biased. And that applies doubly to anything extremely subjective, like psychiatric research.
That's right,
so he hypnotizes his wife, and she gives him this cock and bull story about, I was a princess in a former life, and give this whole Aztec mummy thing.
But it comes all back around at the end with her saying, you can now rest with everything, all your things, and our love will never be forgotten or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, I guess that's their version of coming full circle.
Yeah. But also, he did not record any results. He had no theory. It wasn't testable or falsifiable, both of which are required for theories. He performed it on a relative. He did not give the relative full information on what was going on.
Was consent even given?
Who knows? He could have hypnotized her into giving consent.
You noticed at the beginning, he talked about how they went to a lecture and he got scoffed at by everybody else.
Rightly so, yes. And then, moving on, you can't do very much with a human brain. It's a liquid. Your brain is liquid.
Pretty much.
If you put it in a bowl, it's going to take on the shape of the bowl. It's basically tapioca pudding. That's actually pretty close to what your brain really is. Your brain is mostly fat.
Nice. Yeah. So
that's about the equivalent of brain usage that was probably needed to use for this film.
When at one point you decried somebody's lack of ethics, I don't know if that was doctors.
At the beginning, this is a person who has never had any ethics training regarding the use of human test subjects.
Yeah, well, again, this is one of those examples where the writers did not bother to look into anything of what they were writing about. They just kind of
They mentioned the thing at the end that they did some studies and they were all intellectual.
Yes.
No, he said, you're practically an intellectual.
There you go.
Oh, exactly. My God. There was so much dialogue. Let me pull out a few of the choice dialogue bits here. I love how the doctor says, I tortured many animals with pleasure. Thank you so much for telling us that. Yeah, and
PETA might have a concern with it. And just any morally strong person would have questions about that statement. But yeah.
And then one of them says, you're not only mad, but you're ignorant too. Nanny nanny poo poo.
There's other things too. Is acid burns don't look like that at all.
Oh, you mean Bruno?
Yeah. So I have actually met people who work with acid and have had acid burns. They don't look like that at all. I've seen people literally take a jar of hydrochloric acid and pour it on their hands to demonstrate this. and a week later he was completely healed, you would never have known it was there. And even really bad acid burns, they heal fully and you just have a white mark on your skin.
Right. So Bruno had the bad makeup, which of course didn't affect his mustache. He had the
he still had his mustache.
He had the cheesy mustache the entire time, but you know, he had this ridiculous makeup there, and then he spent the entire film, the rest of the film, walking around covering up his face, I guess because he's embarrassed by it. But if you're going to do that, just wear a mask.
Well, or makeup. It seemed like around the eyes, like it might have been a mask almost.
Possibly.
But either that or the makeup, it was pretty atrocious.
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. But I mean, if you're going to go to the trouble, I mean, Mexican cinema has a proud history of heroes and villains wearing masks. So you should have wore a mask, buddy. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, the whole thing with the robot is pretty laughable, but also radium's not that dangerous either.
Oh, yeah, that was funny when you're like, he's got radium, he'll be able to disintegrate anything on Earth. And you said, no, he's not.
So if they'd eaten the radium, it probably could have hurt them.
Yum.
But honestly, the worst that's going to happen to them is in like 50 years, they might develop cancer. Maybe.
Ooh.
That's not that scary, and it's not immediately fatal.
So it's not like plutonium.
No, not really.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Although they did get all that lead shielding. He said they had to have 4 inches of lead shielding. Is that necessary, or is that enough? Or
it's overkill.
It's overkill?
I mean, people used to work with radium. And, like, the main thing is, the main reason people got hurt by radium is because they were putting it in their mouths.
Ew. Why were they doing that?
But even if you just work around radium, you're probably going to be fine. It's not overwhelmingly radioactive.
Okay. Well, so there's a lot worse radioactive things out there that you could be exposed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do they use for x-rays?
I think just, they, I don't know, actually.
Hmm.
Yeah, well, that's just, isn't that some sort of just imaging thing?
Yeah, I guess yeah. So. I don't know.
I was absent on science class day. Science ain't exactly my specialty.
I hear. Well, that's why we have Lenore.
There you go.
Our science expert, who's, you know, clearly there was all kinds of science flying around in this film.
Well, they put the fiction in the science fiction.
They did. I mean, you saw the doctor had a lab and he had a beating heart. And
so that's what made me laugh. Is it's obviously, even if it's a real heart and it might not be, you could just run a current through it, and you'd be fine. But what's really funny is, you can turn spinach leaves into hearts.
Yum.
Yeah, you can take a spinach leaf, and you have to do a couple of different things to it. You have to strip the chlorophyll and cells and leave just the cellulose, and then you have to use the cellulose to make a mesh to grow heart cells around. But you can turn a spinach leaf into a human heart and have it work.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. Now, that would have been an interesting experiment if the doctor had managed to do something like that.
Yeah.
That doctor has sort of a Wolfman Jack look to him, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. But he was funny. You know, he managed to somehow escape the snake pit in, I guess, clip from movie number 2, when the mummy just had enough of his shit, picked him up and tossed him in there. Fortunately, not only did the rattlesnakes not bite him, but there was that handy escape hatch in the back, so he was able to get out. Did you notice how much time they spent in the damn temple? I mean, they spent a lot of time going back and forth and back and forth. Yeah. Apparently the temples, these Mayan or Aztec temples are just sitting there in Mexico. Anybody can walk in at any time.
And ultimately perfect lighting at the right time.
Yes.
So just the up and down. And actually the tomb, even the doors never get shut really. And I guess the grave job guy didn't really do his job too well, so maybe I shouldn't feel sorry for
right.
him, as I did.
And the scientist and the archaeologist missed the one door in the back of the tomb. That was always fun.
Yeah.
And when they did find the one tomb, the from the grave into the temple, all they did was they went through a little square for about 3 feet. And that was it.
Yeah, it's.
If archaeology was only so easy, huh?
Yeah, if only. So ridiculous. But yeah, it would have been fun if Soapy had morphed in there, because he was a big, clunky, square creature, too.
He
so
just bounced against the robot. That could have been.
And the robot would have been very clean at this point.
Yeah. So what got you into wanting to watch this one?
Well, it's a blast from the past. It's one of those movies that I used to watch way back in the day, Saturday mornings, it was, you know, public domain, so it would come up all the time. Okay. And they used to show a lot of Mexican movies back then, and if you weren't Santos, then it was Neutron or one of the other wrestling movies, and that was it. You either had a wrestling movie or you had a ridiculous monster movie.
Like those schlock B-horror films.
Exactly.
So it's like, so for Mexico, they had these type of things. It'd be sort of how, like, in Asia, they have the Godzillas and
right.
Their versions tied in with the, sure. the wrestling and all sure. that stuff. Yeah.
And just like in the States, there's an appetite for this sort of thing.
Because yeah, we had our Ed Wood and we had our variety of zombie films oh, yeah. and all those type of things.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. So, yeah. And you know, the way to do it is to make it as cheap as possible and throw it out there. And hopefully you can get people to pay the money and, you know, move on to the next one.
Well, it's 60 years later and it's still being talked about. So that's still...
There you go. Well, originally I did want to do, I think I mentioned to Lenore, I wanted to do Rock and Roll Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy. At some point we're going to do that. It's currently locked in a VHS tape, so I have to figure out a way to either play that or convert it to DVD, because it's never been released on DVD. It'll never be released on Blu-ray. It was, I forget who it was that put it out. It was Rhino. Rhino okay. Records put it out. They got it. They removed the soundtrack. They added their own soundtrack, and then they put it out because it was originally Wrestling Women versus the Aztec Mummy. Different director, different people, different everything. Still an Aztec Mummy, but they made it more fun, and they added the music. They added was a lot of fun. It's actually a crappy, stinky movie, but it's a little more fun than this one. This movie had some stretches of boredom. I mean, there's some bits where there's just nothing going on.
And with science yeah. fiction horror, any movie for that matter, it's like it's all right to take chances and be bad, be good, whichever, but being dull and boring, that's almost like a fatal flaw.
Oh yeah, we call that the cardinal sin of movie yeah. making is to be boring. But then, you know, there are also times when like the doctor who should either be, you know, going off to do his nefarious things or killing somebody, instead he's standing there and he's like talking them. Just talking and talking and talking. And so proud of his quote-unquote experiment. Oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And you know, 10 minutes later he's still rambling on and on and on. It's like, dude, just shut up.
Yeah.
And he gets discarded pretty easily too.
Yeah, ultimately. This whole movie could have been like 20 minutes.
And I think it was. And that's the problem. It was about 20 minutes. And about another 40 minutes of two other movies, and then they just sandwiched it together.
Yeah. So I imagine if you take all three of them, I don't know how long the other two are, but if you put all two, you really had one crazy idea, and maybe in the two films, but they probably should have. This should have been part of one of the others in a longer stint.
Right. But yeah, it was kind of fun. Really, the fun for me is the end with the big fight between. The robot and the mummy, because, and you even said it, you were like, oh my God, this is going to be the slowest fight in movie history, and it pretty much is.
It is.
Yeah, the ones walking through the graveyard to get to there was quicker, with more pace.
Yeah, and it was just a matter of them slapping each other like a bunch of carp, and it was just very silly. Now, the whole thing with the wrestling women, they add another dimension that this movie doesn't have, which one of the reasons why I wanted to watch those. They actually made a few of them. They made the first the Aztec Mummy, and then they did one versus the Aztec Ape, which has got a whole bunch of brain swapping and weird stuff, and wrestlers involved in that too. And that series is ripe for Indie Film Cafe. It's just like I said, they are locked up in VHS tapes, and this movie that we were able to see, the robot versus the Aztec Mummy, I believe is actually out on YouTube. I have a DVD version of this, but it was just easier to do it off the digital copy so I can just stick it on a thumb drive for us to watch. But it was only like an hour and 5 minutes long. You know, that's why we had to do the Soapy the Germ Fighter first, because there really isn't a lot of content to this film, because it's just a clip show of the first two films and, you know, maybe 20-25 minutes of original content. You know?
Well, it's from the same time period, so there was a little bit of a crossover.
Oh, yeah, and American films did that too. Roger Corman did this all the time, mm-hmm. You know, so this isn't like, you know, the first sin. You know, a lot of cheap movie people, Ed Wood did it. I mean, come on, they all did it. And they would pad it out. Usually they would pad it out with, stock footage, because that was the easiest and cheapest way to do things.
That reminds me of, like, the Full Moon stuff with, like, Doll Man and Demonic Toys. where they cross across and bring the girl in from bad channels and stuff like that, I believe, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
That's always fun. But, so, I don't know. This one, there isn't a whole lot more to talk about for this particular film, other than, what did you think of Flora?
To be honest, she was treated kind of like a prop.
Yeah, she was. She was. And especially since she was the victim of hypnotism several times. I mean, by the husband, first of all, and then apparently by the doctor who can hypnotize her from the car.
Oh, yeah.
Not sure how she managed to do that. And who the hell was this boy that just popped up? And I guess he turned out to be the doctor's kid.
Yeah, well, he had a younger sister, and that when they butted right. head, when they bickered that one scene with the only scene his sister was in with them, and then they just stormed back off to go get their bacon or whatever, bacon and eggs breakfast or whatever. Right. That was probably the best. But the boy showing up in the flashbacks in the tomb and stuff like that.
The
was
same
like,
age even.
Yeah, it was just like.
Well, again, it was all shot at the same time. But well, it's like, yeah. Why did you bring him in the first place? Makes no sense.
Well, I think that fits the overall theme with this. It's doesn't make sense.
and what I love too is when they were bickering and arguing. It was obviously it's dubbed in, and it just sounded like they were on helium. Their voices were so high; it was really ridiculous. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Well, you had your when they got in the one fight in the one flashback. I think it was in the flashback to where the mummy popped up all of a sudden around the other side of him.
Oh, yeah, there was definitely some continuity issues there, too. He was talking about when they go in and the doctor sees the mummy has Flora, whom he's captured, on the temple, and he's about to sacrifice her again to get the heart again. So he, in the darkness, manages to shoot the knife out of his hand, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's kneeling in front of the altar and the mummy's behind him. You know, so some kind of definitely weird spatial shift was going on.
Some continuity stuff there.
Definitely continuity. And the monkey's not here, or else I would have squeaked him a few times.
The monkey decided to skip.
Well, I think the monkey has coronavirus.
Oh.
He's not been following Soapy very well.
has he not been cleaning his hands appropriately before doing anything?
He hasn't been feeling well, so he wasn't able to show up.
He's been eating stuff off the table.
I did want to point out that this movie is a Mexican movie, but it came to the United States via the good old K. Gordon Murray. And those folks of you who follow Indie Cafe know, Indie or even Riff Tracks or Mystery Science Theater 3000, K. Gordon Murray is the guy who has committed an awful lot of sins in movie history by taking these films, a lot of them from Mexico, and either chopping them up and redistributing them or doing English versions of them and somehow taking poorly done movies and making them even worse. And usually for the kiddie shows, and this is definitely one that he would have done. So this was in the 50s. But like the Santa Claus movie and the Puss in Boots one and all the ridiculous, terrible, strange, weird Mexican kiddie movies that are out there are definitely all K. Gordon Murray ones. So he's got his liver spotted hand all over this one too. So anybody who's a fan, this is going to be right up your alley. I'm actually surprised. I don't know whether this has been done by Riff Tracks or Mystery Science Theater. I don't remember. I think one of them has, but I'm not sure if it's this one or not. I'd have to go back and look.
I'm sure they would have a good time with it.
Oh sure, this is definitely riffable. It's just like I said, the biggest problem is if you haven't seen the earlier two films, that's why there's so much exposition and so much narration telling you everything that's going on. And it just gets exasperating after a while because instead of, showing you things, the narrator is going to have to tell you and explain why things are happening. Otherwise, it's going to make even less sense than it already does.
Well, unless the first two are great cinematic pieces, and I have questions if they probably are, seeing this in a little over an hour sort of ties the whole story together, and it I'm usually interested in seeing the originals of stuff and all, but maybe it's a good thing, and I don't have to worry about the other two because I've already seen how the resolution of all of that.
Right? Out. Yeah. No. This of the three, this is definitely the most fun, in my opinion. It's the least coherent because it's just a bunch of crap chopped up from other films. The others are a little more polished, if you can believe that. But this one does. You know, the others two don't have the ridiculous robot. So it's just not going to be nearly as much fun.
Well, I know nowadays it's like there's always has to be a third part for the trilogy. I was like,
right.
But I mean, this 60 years ago, I don't know if they had that sort of rule then, but maybe they were trying to specifically stretch it into three films.
Well, I don't know that they were specifically going for a trilogy, but they were definitely thinking, we've got this all set up for one film. We may as well shoot two others with the same people and the same sets and the same everything while we're here. And that's exactly what they did. It was just a cheap way to stretch it out. I forget the name of the production company they showed. I think it was A-Class or something like that. But they did a lot of Mexican films and even some really, really good Mexican films, because there are some really good ones out there. They never have the budget to compete with American ones, of course, but they actually had some good films and even some good horror films that had a lot of good acting and good directing and had some thought put behind them. But they also had a lot more crap, cheap, ridiculous crap like this. And yeah, that's kind of what most people, and that's just it. They were cheap. So they were mostly the sort of thing that K. Gordon Murray could get his hands on and bring to America because it was inexpensive.
Yeah, because I think it said the English version of it was done through Coral Gables, Florida. So I was like, home. I was like, oh, but wait, it's a Mexican production. So I guess that's just the English version.
Right.
Instead of having a subtitle, which we watched a movie on one of the other podcasts before that had the subtitles instead. But I think this one, with all the talking that needed, with all the backstory, it was probably best that it was dubbed.
Yeah, no. But couldn't do it with subtitles.
And really difficult to... Because that would have been like, really, what is going on?
You're talking about Child of Peach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we could have seen that subtitled. It just, I don't know that it would have necessarily helped, but the subtitles definitely helped in this film. This one wasn't quite as wacky as Child of Peach, which is why that one's in What the Fuck Friday versus this one. This one, unfortunately, has a little too much, boring going on. So, I don't know. Do we have any final thoughts we want to talk about Robot versus the Aztec Mummy? What about you, Lenore?
Not really. It's pretty much what the title says.
That's true.
Just a lot of plotting exposition beforehand.
So, as far as other films, would you say that this was a better film or a worse film than some of the other ones you've seen? And you've seen two Neil Breen movies. Or you've seen one Neil Breen movie at this point.
It's better than Neil Breen. I'll put it around an 8.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, let's go ahead and get into our stinkometer, our rating system. And just to sort of summarize the way we've been doing it for the last few seasons, what we do is we give a rating based on a 1 to 10 scale, where 1 is a very low amount of stink, and 5 is kind of in between, and 10 is a whole big barrel full of stink. So the higher the score, the stinkier the film. So you're going to go with an 8?
7.
7. Really? Okay. Interesting. I would have thought he would have gone stinkier just because of the boredom factor, but okay.
That's true. 7.5.
7.5? Okay. That seems good. Fair. What about you?
I think there's like, I feel the same thing with movement on that. I mean, there is some, a lot of talking going on in this film, and there is, as extreme as it may be, and as unrealistic as so many different parts of it is, there is a general idea that they had trying to do in the film. So on that note, I can't say it's truly stinky, because they did try on some levels with that. I was wrestling with 8.5 area, but I might just go down to an 8. So I think I'll lock in at an 8 right now.
Okay.
For it, because I think that they really, there was some real attempt at it. I liked what some of the stuff that the costumes that they were wearing. Now, not the mummy stuff, than the robot.
Right,
that was
right.
A bit extreme. But some of the other stuff when they were sitting in there talking and all, there was some production elements to that I say wasn't full-on stink. But
right. Well,
an eight? Yeah, I'd say I'll settle at an 8.
Okay, well, just to sort of further your point, I mean, I didn't think the acting was bad.
There you go.
You know, there was nobody that was terrible except maybe the Doctor. I think he was a little overboard on a few of his lines. But I think a lot of that was due to the shitty writing, honestly, and the poor direction. But otherwise, I'd say the acting, for the most part, was okay. And, you know, it was lit pretty well. It was probably lit too well, in my opinion, in a number of cases.
There's a lot of light, yeah.
It's a lot of lighting. And the regular sets were all pretty good, with the exception, of course, of the ridiculous laboratory and the ridiculous, you know, tomb. But the tomb is from another film, so I guess you can get away with that. And the sound was all right. I mean, some of the technical aspects of the film
were okay. Even the 15 minutes of scratching, or not 15 minutes, but you know.
You could at least hear it.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It wasn't like I was looking at it. I think it's some of the movies that we've seen. You haven't seen some of the ones that we've seen where you're literally staring at the screen and you can't see or hear anything. So it was like, what the hell? So it wasn't as bad as that. However, the thing that you really take away from this is the stupid-ass robot. I mean, that...
When it's a title character, a title.
Ridiculous.
Part of the title.
You know, collection of refrigerator boxes, painted silver and held together with what I can only assume is duct tape. You know, that's like your crowning achievement of the film. Plus, just the whole way that they wrote it, by just throwing shit against the wall and hoping that something stuck. I'm going to say that this is an 8.5 from me.
Oh.
So 8.5, an 8 from you, and a 7.5 from you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty good. That's all kind of clumping around the same sort of general area. That's basically an average of an 8.
There you go.
Okay.
There's parts of it I was like, this is approaching 9 territory.
But then I know.
Then it reined in, and then it got a little extreme at the end, but it got extreme in kind of a comedic sense. So I was like, well, it's not full on stink at that point. So.
Well, there are some genuinely funny moments. Now, whether they meant it to be funny or not is another deal. You know, the poor gravedigger getting clunked on the head the first time I thought was funny. And then, of course, his second time where he gets dusted and then runs. And they sit there and watch him run a good 100 yards down. And you watch the whole thing. That was funny.
And when the two guys that were being held by the heavies, by Bruno and the heavies, and when they fight them off and take the guns from them, that was pretty funny.
Worst guardsman ever. Yeah. And some of the dialogue was really bad and unintentionally funny. There's very Ed Woodsian dialogue. Mm-hmm. So there was enough stink for me to go with an 8.5. You know, we've seen worse, but we've seen a whole lot better too. Okay, so which was more fun, do you think, Soapy or Aztec Mummy?
Neither.
She wants to wash both of them out of her mind.
I see. Well, what about for you? Soapy had some fun to it, though.
That one makes me think more, because it's like, this was really, was this really conveyed to the kids and the people of the time? And if it was, then maybe that's why people from that time could have turned out in some ways how they are almost.
Right.
So,
well,
so,
and
yeah.
I deliberately chose that film because it's exactly the kind of short that would have come before a movie like Robot versus the Aztec Mummy in the theaters. When you're watching, you know, a B movie, or in this case a Z movie, often that's what they did, because a lot of those films didn't have the budget a lot of times to even be full-length films. They would pad it out with shorts. So that's exactly what I did with this one. I figured we'll do just like they did in the 50s.
Yeah.
We'll watch this crazy, you know, PSA short, this little 16mm short. It's just as ridiculous to us, you know, as it probably was for the kids then. And then we'll watch the main feature. And it would be just like, you know, with our coonskin caps sitting in the theater in 1958, you know.
Yeah, I remember watching some of those type of PSA things on, because YouTube and Prime and stuff ones have those on there. And some of those driver's ed training, sex ed type
stuff
and all that. So, yeah, I guess putting this, was 8 to 10 minutes for Soapy or whatever, with another hour and 5 minutes, that put an hour and 15, that's usually about a feature.
Right.
feature, right. And I'm sure they would have, you'd have that drive-in stuff going on between right. it and leading in, which would be fun just as well.
And I have a bunch of these shorts, and I've been dying to use them. I just haven't had an opportunity because we usually have a lot to yap about, and most of our movies go the full length. But when it comes to some of these short films, I think I'm going to start sticking them in there. There's one called Fun with Soup that's really bad that I want to show, and there's just so many bad ones. For those listening,
the look that Lenore gave was great for that. So I think that's going to be brought out now. And for certainly he's going to be bringing out.
Let's make a sandwich. Yeah, it's 10 minutes about making a sandwich. It's
so soup and sandwich with this Panera.
No, I wish not back then. But and the thing is, they're all public domain. So and that's just it. They would have been forgotten for the most part if it weren't for Mystery Science Theater rescuing them and bringing them out in the open and showing them. Probably Mr. B Natural's the most favorite and famous one of the bunch. So I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
That one doesn't ring a bell.
Oh, it's the best. It is the best.
But I like seeing like this soapy one because it just brings more of a reflection on that time, and it helps me understand where people may have come from. So
right.
As I don't know if it's, I won't say twisted is the right word to say, but it's sort of the misguided possibly.
Right.
But yeah, it definitely was worth a view. To get a good laugh out of.
I think so. And even from a millennial's point of view, you had to have found some entertaining in Soapy and in the Aztec Mummy, right?
It was pretty boring.
are you wanting to change that to an 8 or a 9 now?
We bored you with a few movies at this point. I'm going to have to start upping the quotient here. Maybe something a little stronger. Think you can handle it?
I think you're giving him a challenge. He's taking that as a challenge.
Well, let's put it to you this way. The very last episode that they did on the West Coast with Moody was Vampire Cop, and they gave that a 30 because it's really, really bad. So if you think you're up for that, I can start pulling some of that out. What do you think?
No.
Starting to sound like poor Just Jen before she left the show.
No,
that's okay. All right, guys. Well, I think we've talked this movie to death. Thank you very much for joining us. As always, you can find us on indiefilmcafe.reviews. That's the mothership. And then you can find us on Podbean and Stitcher and Radio Public and iHeartRadio and all kinds of stuff. We are also on YouTube. I'm trying to get video versions of all of our podcasts, but in the meantime, that's where you'll find our Criterion Watch and What the Fuck Fridays and Film Freaks and just all kinds of stuff that we're trying to do. We're busy trying to create new content for you guys and trying to put out as much stuff out there. We've got our Davila series that we're starting to put out again. Hopefully we're going to get some new Davilas made soon. We've got to get Kim up here. And I know we'd dying to have Kim as a guest in one of our shows.
I'd be looking forward to some more Davila because she sort of named me Chad the Sound Guy for some of us.
There you go.
Chad would like to return.
Sure. And Howley the Werewolf definitely wants to come back. So, we're trying to get some more stuff. So please check us out. And always come on back for the podcast because there's always something stinky going on. And don't forget, we also have Forgotten Horror Classics for some of the good movies that I'm actually got out there, because got to have the yin and the yang. You got to have the...
There's got to be balance.
Right. You got to have the good stuff in addition to the crappy stuff. So that's what we're all about here, guys. Balance here at Indie Film Cafe. Well, thank you all very much for your time, and we will see you next time. See ya. Bye.
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 Professor, ayúdenme.